they've ruined every character.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Ballin' Out Super! I'm your host, Jeremy Hammond. Joining me, as always, are my co-hosts, Katie Rose Leon.
Hi, fellas, let's do it!
And Alex Patak.
Hey, fellas, let's do it.
Why did you make your voice, too?
Brand changes. I'm a big, strong podcasting man.
Well, this week, Katie could not join us because she has a job at the bookstore we won't name, so nobody goes there.
It's very offensively named.
It is, yeah. It is a big old racial
slur.
We just
have to bleep it out.
Anyway, she's at work. She couldn't get out of it, but she's going to quit soon, so that's pretty sick. We're joined this week, though, by a comedian, magician, musician, insanely talented guy, good friend of mine, Griffin Henley.
Hello.
Hi, Griff.
Hi, how you doing, pal?
Why are you doing that voice?
I don't know. I wish that we were all doing voices.
I'm excited. Griff's on the show.
Well, you see, this is my podcast voice. I'm not doing a voice necessarily. It just kind of comes out this way when I'm talking into a microphone with just us in a room.
I like it.
More talents.
This is going to be a really challenging episode. I already can tell.
Yeah.
See, you can view it as a challenge or an opportunity for a real bro down.
Just a couple of guys hanging out.
That's right.
Ripping off my sleeves as we speak.
Just checking out some sweet anime boobs.
Boing, oing, 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 oing. Those are noises we made while watching them because we can't control our balls.
They do seem to have remodeled Bulma quite a bit.
She's more top heavy.
Yeah.
As an architecture student, a risky decision.
See, we're already off the normal schedule that we would be keeping for this. We shouldn't be talking about the episode
yet. I meant to ask you this before we started. So do you want me to help you do the part Katie normally does?
Yes, please.
Okay. I don't know if you were just going to take it over because sometimes...
No. I've written down some notes, but I will probably rely on you a lot because a lot of my notes just say things like, Krillin's a pig.
Yeah.
Okay, before we go any further into this episode, Griff.
Yeah.
We like to start our show off by talking to our guests a little bit about your experience with the franchise.
Yeah.
Were you at any point a fan of Dragon Ball?
No.
No.
Not at any point.
Not at any point.
No.
Zero.
But there was something about it that appealed to me.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone seemed to like it.
Yeah.
But I'd never seen it until I saw it once.
Mm-hmm. When was the once?
I wasn't allowed to watch much television growing up.
Mm-hmm.
And everything had to be pre-screened by my parents.
Right.
And so most of what I watched would be like the Dick Van Dyke Show and stuff like that.
Yeah, of course.
And I wanted to watch this. And so I asked my dad if he would watch an episode of it to see if it was okay for me.
Right.
Watched it. And he was like, you can watch it. It's really dumb.
Now back to Dick Van Dyke.
and I watched it, and I got violently ill. I think it was from the animation or something. And I've never watched... This is the first time I've watched anime since that day as a child.
How are you feeling right now?
I feel fine.
You feel fine?
I feel fine, yeah.
So it's interesting.
Confused, but fine.
It's interesting to me that your dad didn't like Dragon Ball when he watched it, because this is something that I know about your dad that the listeners at home and perhaps Alex don't know about your dad. He's a professional magician.
Yes.
Hmm.
And there is an awful lot of magic in Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
Although I will say, notably lacking from today's episode.
He was trying to make your childhood whimsy disappear.
So the show isn't usually about, like, a cop pulling people over?
No.
No.
This is like a gritty turn for the show. Where your friends actually help you catch a criminal, but you write them up anyway because you're playing by the fucking books now.
So I want to rewind a little bit because you'd said that you never watched it, but like it appealed to you.
Yeah.
Like I want to know kind of like what about it appealed to you? Do you remember kind of?
I like sort of like long story type things where there's like, you know, characters you get invested in over time and like, you know, you get little bits of it and the stories keep going instead of like a monster of the week kind of thing. I was like longer type thing.
Yeah, it's a monster of the like season sort of a thing with Dragon Ball.
It's a progressive story, so it's not like you could drop in anywhere. Like it keeps going on and getting more exciting.
Yeah, I can attest to the fact that you cannot just drop in. But yeah, so like lots of kids that I knew liked it, and it looked fun from the commercials.
Yeah,
there were like toys at Burger King or whatnot. I was like, this looks cool.
So one of the things I like to ask that often doesn't get a very satisfactory answer, which I'm starting to learn, perhaps is just because it's a bad question. But like, can you remember when you were like that age? Like, what did you think Dragon Ball was going to be about?
I thought it was about like some sort of athletic team in space. That's like, because they wore like uniforms kind of, and there were like things that looked like aliens.
You're totally,
that's not far off at all. Pretty much what the show is.
Space athletes.
It's space athletes.
No, seeing the Saiyan armor, like just from an outside perspective, seeing a bunch of guys in like blue spandex suits with like gloves and like shoulder pads and stuff.
Tough.
Good instinct. I mean, wrong, but like, good instinct.
But close.
Not even really close. Yamcha plays baseball.
Yeah. That's true.
There's a character called Yamcha.
That's his. Are you interested now?
Yes.
There's a character named Yamcha.
Well, and you know of Yamcha at least because this is a fun fact for the listeners at home. Griff is the singer of the majority of our jingles.
Yes.
Including What's Yamcha Up To?
Right, that's me.
What's Yamcha up to?
Alex?
Great jingle, weebs!
Katie, what are you doing here?
I'm stuck in an air vent!
I thought you were at work.
Not cool!
Help her down.
I don't know if we can.
I'm going back very the other way.
Very high up.
It's a very high air duct. This is the dumbest episode. We need Katie.
We'll help her down.
You just have to believe.
I think you're doing a great job there, Bear. Let's keep on the rolling down the track.
Oh, thanks, other Alex.
You want to feel my forearms?
No. It's okay. Can you do a Yamcha voice?
These need work, but great start. And he doesn't really have
Which one was he? Because that was everybody.
Yeah. He's not in this episode. Oh, okay. That's why we're wondering what he's up to.
He kind of sounds... Does he have the same voice actor as adult Gohan?
No, I don't think so.
They sound kind of similar.
Because he's like... He's so gruff, Yamcha. He's got sort of like a, like, hey, guys.
I want to invite him to our anime watching hangout. Because I feel like he has the kind of masculinity we need to get on a bike and rob people in the sand.
Well, have you seen the Yamcha side story manga?
No.
Oh, my God. I can't believe I haven't brought it up on the podcast
yet. Do you
just
have this?
I'm sorry. This is going to alienate you for a little while, Griff.
Oh, just for a little while? Okay.
Griff, do you want to put your nose in the corner over there?
Yeah, I'll be over there.
Just wait.
Or actually, perhaps you could help Katie get out of the air duct while we do this.
I'll go get the ladder.
Leave her.
Leave her. She needs to learn. It's true what they say of Alex and I. We do have a podcast together. But so there's a manga out right now. I think it's in the second issue, but the story of it is it's a kid. He's like a big Dragon Ball fan, and like his friends are like, you're the biggest Dragon Ball fan. Why do you know so much about Dragon Ball? And he's like, because I love the franchise so damn much.
This is Ralph Macchio's first gig in a while.
Yeah. And he plays all the characters. It's like a
he's so good,
Eddie Murphy movie.
Hey, I love the show.
I love the damn show. All right. So anyway, so he's on his way to a Dragon Ball convention, which they have in Japan, I guess.
Right.
And he trips and falls down some stairs. And I think he breaks his neck and dies.
Oh, okay.
But he wakes up.
The start of several other animes.
Yeah. He wakes up and he's in the Dragon Ball universe. And who is he? Yamcha! What a cruel twist of fate.
See, that would fucking blow. Hey, you're here. You're the guy who can't do nothing.
It's really funny because he... as like a super Dragon Ball fan, is like, well, here's where this happens to Yamcha. Oh my god, I can stop things from happening. So he like knows all the shit that's gonna happen, so he can like inform future decisions. He like decides to train instead of like sleeping with Bulma.
Does he wife up Bulma? Oh, he went the other way.
He went the other way. Yeah, okay. He ditched Bulma altogether. He's like, fuck it, I'm just gonna get cucked by Vegeta later anyway. So he trains more so that when that Cyberman guy comes and fucking clenches onto him to blow him up, he's just like, nah, and he like fucking like breaks his arms off and then kills all of them, and then but like probably still can't beat Vegeta.
Nice.
I think that's where it ends.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'm not sure how I feel about that. It sounds sad where a boy goes into a coma and then dies in an alternate reality.
Well, that's the thing is, I don't even know if he's in a coma because they don't really cover that. I'm pretty sure that it's just like he trips, falls.
He died and then...
Yeah, the best you can hope for in this life is that you wake up as Yamcha.
Yeah.
All the Catholics have been praying for all these years just to wake up as Yamcha. All
right. Good side story. Griff, you can come back now.
Yeah, great.
Okay.
That was the corner.
Yeah, it was lovely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Great. Okay. Should we get into the episode?
Let's break down the episode, and I'm going to help Jeremy out here.
Please
and
do.
We're gonna hold our hands together.
The title of this episode is...
Wait, I'm trying do you want to do a Katie voice?
The title of this episode is Pan is Born, and Goku Goes on a Training Journey?
You got the inflection, right? We all have to start somewhere.
That's right, folks. We're on a training journey. Not yet.
We're
Pan
all on
is
a training
born.
Journey.
That part happened.
We're on a training journey called Katie's Not Here, and this podcast is hard to do.
Okay, but we'll start. The start of the episode, as we can all attest, is Hercule playing with his grandchild, who has now been born. She's 6 months old.
That's right.
And
they do remind us in the opening that 6 months has passed.
Mm-hmm. So this isn't one of your boat days, which has more than your average 24-hour day. It's around a 40 to 70-hour day where 8 episodes pass and you're on a boat for one afternoon. This is 6 months in 5 seconds.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
Hercule is throwing his granddaughter, who is 6 months old, in
That's
the
right.
air.
That was the beast,
right?
Guy.
That was the beefy guy. He's supposed to be almost literally Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yes, right. Correct. So they're in the home. They're throwing the baby around as though it were just a thing.
Don't ask why.
It's okay to
it's
do.
It's not important why. What's important is...
I thought it was so they could use their hands for fighting.
Yes. Well, Gohan shows up. He puts on a mask, and then he has to fight his father-in-law because he's holding his child.
That's right. And what a great scene that was for Gohan, too, because, like...
So rich.
I was going to say, so cucked, because they they open on it, and he, like, puts on the Saiyaman outfit, and we're like, oh, shit, yeah, Gohan's going to, like, do some cool stuff again. And then he's just like,
cartoon.
Just kidding, I'm playing with my baby. I'm not going out to fight crime. Don't worry, this show still sucks. Also, notably missing from that scene is Goku. Chi-Chi's there. Chi-Chi shows up. Yeah, we cut to Goku, and he's back on the farm. And you pointed out some things have grown.
Yeah, he has plants that are sprouting up next to these holes in the ground because, as they keep showing in the show, Goku's idea of farming is falling asleep on a tractor that goes around in circles, and then he wakes up and fights the ground. And somehow, plus 6 months, that's going to lead to a large crop harvest.
Griff, as somebody who has no stake in this show,
yes.
See, we have a podcast
right.
to make. We have to keep watching this show.
Yes.
As somebody who may perhaps be, you know, compelled to continue watching the show, does watching Goku in like a tan suit and an ascot punch the ground and grow turnips, does that sound like a good TV show to you?
No, that sounds like a bad TV show.
Yeah, you wouldn't tune in every week to watch Goku sharecropping?
No. Well, first off, I couldn't even tell that that's what he was doing. I was confused why he was wearing an aviation scarf.
That's right.
And
there is no reason for that.
Okay. No.
Well, that's what farmers wear. All farmers wear tan suits with aviation scarves.
That's to protect their necks.
And from what I saw, there was nothing that hinted to me that he's a farmer farming things.
Right. And he has that giant tank on his back.
The tank? tank?
He's got a giant blue, like, garbage pail attached to his back. It's huge. You didn't notice the huge garbage pail attached to his back.
Well, there's a lot to digest looking at Goku, mostly the savior of mankind forced to do minimum wage labor in a field that makes his wife happy for some reason. She's thrilled about it. Anyway, let's focus back on the scene. There's two grown men fighting while throwing a baby in the air.
Right. They're fighting with each other. Just having a little...
They're having fun.
It looked like a fun time.
We're watching. We're like, you know, it's dangerous, but you know, we love these guys.
It looked like they had it under control. I wasn't worried for the baby's safety.
And they're very talented artists of the martial sort. But
notably, Chi-Chi walks in and she says, "What are you guys doing?"
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you think they look like professionals.
She does this offensive Jewish voice when she does it. What's going on here? It's like a Three's Company thing almost.
Archie, what's going on in here? You can't throw around your baby, Arch.
But she objects. Also, Videl, the mother of the child, has been watching this whole time, kind of like, yeah.
Oh, boys.
And then just has to co-sign with her mother-in-law because everyone's afraid of her.
That's right.
And then Chi-Chi takes the baby and barricades herself in another room.
Well, but so before that, they start having that argument about whether, and I don't remember how this argument started. I feel like it might have just, for no reason, started, which, you know, things do.
I think that is how it started.
They are arguing Chi-Chi wants the baby to be a scholar one day, of course, and Hercule, Mr. Satan, wants the baby to be...
That's Saint Per... Okay, sorry.
A fighter.
He has two names.
Okay.
He has two names.
And he even has the audacity to say, he has the blood of me in his veins, as well as Gohan.
Well, Hercule is very self-indulgent.
See, but I never got the impression that he believed it until now. For a long time, I thought this was public image. I thought this was kayfabe. I thought this was like totally about him.
But didn't you notice there's no scenes where Hercule sighs and sits down in a gold house shaped like his head and is like, what's it all for? That never happens.
But there are a lot of times,
I gotta buy a hot tub. Look like my face.
There's so many times though where he and Goku will be chatting, and he's just like, "We all know who the real fucking guy."
Yeah, but he, I don't know. There's that one episode where he gives Goku $100 million.
That's nice.
Yeah, but there's so much backstory to get
into. So many strings attached. You know, yeah. The point
it's
is
the opposite of that NSYNC song. I'm sorry about this reference. No strings attached. It's a 1998 or something. Look it up. Anyway.
Is that the one in the
video
where
they have
marionettes?
The strings attached?
Yeah. They're puppet boys.
Let's get back on track here. We cut away from the farm. We cut away from the baby to the streets of Satan City.
Which
are
full
of crime.
The
gritty, mean streets. Full of crime.
Terrible streets, folks.
But it's okay, because who's there to suppress the working class?
We're skipping too far in advance. So,
no, we're not. This is exactly where we are.
Yeah, but you see Bulma. She is getting... Her car is knocked aside by some bandits. And you can tell they're bandits because they're holding a comically sized sack, which is what bandits do. They run into her car, which flips over, because it's a real downside to hover cars,
right,
is they don't stay up like wheel cars do. And she decides to take these bandits down via road rage and vigilante justice, only to get caught up in a police chase by this masked man on a bike who turns out to be Krillin. Bulma takes out the crime. Krillin shakes his head and says, "I can't support your vigilante behavior. Here's a ticket for speeding."
Yes. Several things here. Number one, don't like that Krillin's a cop.
No.
I don't think I need to.
No.
What was his past life?
Martial arts.
He fought aliens.
He was just like everyone else. He was just a fighter. He was a fun dude. He was the goofy friend.
Why, if everybody in this show they're fighters and they fight aliens, why now does everyone want to become professors and involved in business? And
good question.
There's no reason.
And
there's
farmers.
No reason for this to happen.
There was never once during Dragon Ball Z or Dragon Ball really like much of a question about like how are these guys making ends meet.
Hey,
now suddenly everyone needs to make ends meet.
Going?
I want my son to be an air conditioning repairman.
Send Goten to a trade school. He's not really as smart as Gohan.
He makes lovely shoes and jewelry.
But yeah, Krillin's out there just pretty much cleaning up the working poor and giving light tickets to the Elon Musk stand-in that is Bulma.
Yeah, and I'll say it again. I haven't said it since the second episode, but he is killing people of color with impunity. Okay, so we're back in Gohan's apartment.
Okay, yeah, where Krillin had gotten a phone call about a hot hijacking
hostage situation. Yeah.
It was like, I'll be there right away.
Yeah, and because he is the only cop in Satan City.
Oh, man, they slashed the budget.
So he gets to the apartment where we find out that Chi-Chi has barricaded herself in their very large utility closet or game room, I guess. It's like a small...
Gohan's doing very well for himself. He's got a variety of rooms. Yeah, they're still living in boxes, but there's a lot of stuff in the boxes.
She's barricading herself in the room with Videl so that Mr. Satan doesn't turn Pan into a fighter.
Yeah.
Which he could do right then and there.
Yeah.
Well, it is a hostage crisis. She's actually just like making demands in a closed off room with a baby.
A crazy woman has just taken a child who's not her child.
That's her grandchild.
It's her grandchild. Yes. Just because she wants her to become a professor.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's odd.
Sign this contract with Goldman Sachs now.
We need your blood for it. No, but then they're in there, and then there's that great moment where Chi-Chi is like, oh, Videl, I guess I never really asked you what you want to happen to your kid. And then she's like, oh, well, I guess I'm not really a character anymore, so don't worry about it.
I want the baby to do whatever the baby wants to do.
Was like,
hey, that's actually a really great response.
It's so unrelatable.
Yeah. It doesn't fit in with the world at all, for
yeah,
sure.
You need a very strong opinion about exactly what you want a baby to turn into.
Every baby I meet, I make a decision about what I want them to be in the future. Firefighter.
Because you're a reasonable person.
Yeah.
But so then, was it Bulma and Krillin show up, and then Bulma's like, oh, let me go talk them out of it. I'll get them out of the closet. And then she goes and just like hangs out in there also.
This really just follows up on the thread that this is just the Bulma show.
Yeah.
This story follows Bulma. Bulma's where all the plot points are.
Yeah.
She fixes things.
She's the R2-D2 and C-3PO of Dragon Ball Super. She's the MacGuffin. She's what moves this thing along.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she's got a very fashionable kerchief.
That's right. Yeah.
They
and great
do.
Haircut now. She's looking good. Big fan of Bulma's right now.
If I can see your throat, you're not doing well.
So, what does that mean?
Everyone's wearing a neckerchief.
Oh, okay. Okay. Sorry.
But so.
They meant like the inside.
That's what I thought too. Yeah. So she goes into the room. They're sitting in the room together, and they're like, "Oh, those Saiyans sure do suck." And everyone's like, "That feels a little racist, but okay."
Yeah, let's not put words to it. We all know who sucks here. And they take all the goddamn jobs and sharecropping.
But no, they're talking about how much it sucks being married to a Saiyan.
Mm-hmm.
And she reveals that Vegeta didn't even show up when Trunks was born.
Oh my god, yes. Oh, but this should be all we talk about for the whole thing.
All this goddamn time, okay? All this time. You always hear, like, people in the fan community make a lot of jokes about Goku being a bad dad, but you always hear people then followed up by saying, but Vegeta's a good dad. No, he's not. He's a piece of shit, too. They're all pieces of shit.
He smashes things because he cares.
Was Vegeta in this one?
He was not.
He's not. Okay. Yeah, he's on the Whis planet.
If you can imagine, also not a good dad, based on everyone else you've seen in the show.
Yeah, just picture everybody and then just like give it like this kind of a voice, and then you got it. But then the best part, though, is that they're going back and forth trading their little war stories about their abusive, toxic relationships with these Saiyans, and then they're like, well, Videl, what about you? And she's like, Gohan's a good dude because he was raised by those pieces of shit. That's what's so great is that the whole time they're like, I think it's a Saiyan thing. Just Saiyans suck. And she's like, no, your husbands suck. Gohan's okay.
He
comes
like
home
a fine
and
dad.
Yeah, he goes to work.
Oh,
he only occasionally tosses the baby like near ceiling fans.
Yeah. You know what? Some dads do that.
Yeah.
I'm betting Gohan has a lot of bones buried in the backyard, though, because we keep seeing these scenes where he's like, Dad, I have a kid. And then his dad's like, what's for dinner later? Just pushing down these emotional buildups over and over again.
So then they're bitching in the closet.
Goku bursts through the wall.
Yeah,
Bulma
vaguely mentions that that Vegeta is training with Whis. Goku Kool-Aid mans through the fucking wall.
Yeah,
he fixed it.
He did.
And then he fixed it. Yeah,
he fixed
what a great guy.
Comedically with plywood, which we were watching, we were like, this, again, great, funny stuff.
Good joke.
The old smash and fix.
Classic comedy. And then what happens? He like wants to go train with Whis, and everyone's like, no, you need to raise your child, which again, may I remind you, is eternally 8 years old. Mm. He needs his dad. Just please, you know, stay. And he's like, I'm gonna find Vegeta using my magic. And then he tries to do it, but he can't.
He can't do it. He's too far away.
Can't do it.
Yeah. Which raises more questions about the range of the fucking instant transmission.
Yeah.
Because it seems, but he went to heaven and back a few times with it, but
yeah.
Hey, let's not think about that too much.
So who was the gay alien who got so excited about cooking steak?
Oh, that's Whis.
Okay.
I'm curious.
Not subscribe to any labels.
Hang tight there, buddy. Because this is interesting to me, because you had a very a visceral reaction to Whis.
Yeah.
When he first appeared on screen, he's eating the little steaky bits
yeah.
in the water. And he's like, ooh, these are so delightful. And you went, ugh.
Yeah, it was really weird. It made me uncomfortable.
It made you uncomfortable. Did you not like Whis?
I thought he was way too excited about food.
Mm. Because you will be, I think, actually the first guest on the podcast so far who did not immediately love Whis.
I mean, it was funny, but I don't think it was supposed to be.
No, it is.
Yeah, no,
he's a funny guy.
He's
okay.
A funny character.
I think I went into this taking it too seriously.
In fairness, when Griff was coming over, I did tell him we were about to watch Hotel Rwanda.
So important.
Which we will. We'll get to it.
Yeah. That's what we're doing after we sign off.
For my podcast, Hotel Rwanda. Super.
Okay, so we're
can get Carol out of the vent. She's on yeah. that one too.
Never. She needs to learn.
You have to hide.
Anyways, we're running desperately low on time now. I think we should speed through the rest of this episode.
Okay, well, what you need to know, Goku gets a burner phone from Bulma
that's
after
right.
gaslighting her for months about going to Whis.
Yeah, she gives him a burner iPhone. He then immediately becomes like all of us are with our stupid iPhones, and he's just like sitting there all day, just like,
yeah,
nothing yet.
Any of you guys want? Mm-hmm. I'm stuck on Candy Crush, but if I send 3 of you invitations to Candy Crush, then actually I get like a pass for Candy Crush.
And they're just like, Dad, be here.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. If ever there was an argument for why Goku's a piece of shit dad, it's that even when he's home, even when everything's okay, he's just sitting there dicking around on his phone. Gohan shows up. He's like, hey, Dad, you know, parenting is really tough. I got this kid. I'd really love some advice from a father. Not now. I'm playing Dokken Battle.
I just got him Foursquare. Do you have Foursquare? I'm checking in at my house with Foursquare. Do you want to check into your house?
I'm trying to become the mayor of my turnip farm.
Chi-Chi sees he has a burner phone and then acts suspicious. No, she sees Bulma give him it and is kind of like, what is going on here? And then he makes up an excuse. She's clearly not worried that he's cheating on her.
Yeah.
As that ship has sailed since... Goten was procreated in that passionate night before the Cell Games.
That's so right.
Let's talk about it.
Frankly, it feels a bit like she would almost be relieved if he were cheating.
Right, because it would mean there's still something in there.
Something left in the tank.
That he carries on his back.
Emotional labor.
You ever have a super soaker and you just like don't put water in it, you like pump it up and it just shoots out the way.
I love the idea that
masculinity is a prison.
These are all Katie's catchphrases.
We love you, Katie. Please come back. Anyways, Goku goes to he gets the phone call from Bulma. He's like, "Huh, Whis is here," and he like goes and flies away. And Gohan's like, "Ugh, I wonder what he's up to." Boop boop.
Gohan skipping lunches at work to stalk his dad.
Yeah, what is he doing there? Hiding in the bushes, looking after his dad with his goddamn burner phone.
He's still working on a weapons contract on his iPad while he does it. But
what's weird is I when you say things, I even if it didn't happen in the show, I'm like, did that actually? Yeah. Is that actually what was going on that I missed?
It might
all of
as
that?
Well have is my point.
I have zero idea what happened.
Because the actual like narrative of the world is so all over the place, yeah. And anything is possible. That yeah. Like this could all just be in the show. But long story short, Goku gets the call. He shows up. He negs Whis into training him by harassing him through a meal, which they really play out for you.
They yeah. loved the meal. They were having a great meal.
Yeah,
they were loving it. Yeah, as Whis tends to. He loves food. You yeah. know, it's one thing you take away from this show.
Whis loves food.
Whis loves food.
Yeah. No,
and making sticks appear.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I made a stick.
I like food, like, lipstick, and making sticks appear.
Sorry.
So he's annoying. He's a big pain in the ass. And then Gohan shows up
carrying
Chi-Chi.
Carrying her like a bundle of potatoes, fuming in his arms.
Just snitched hard on his dad.
Whose side is he on?
Well, that's a good question, because then when he gets there...
You want it all, Gohan. It's not going to happen.
He gets there with Chi-Chi there, ready to snitch. And then what does he do? He just talks him. He talks Chi-Chi out of caring anyway.
Right. And the most disturbing thing, and maybe the whole series I've seen so far, is Chi-Chi's fuming at Goku, telling him he can't go, that he's got to go back to work, that she loves him. And then he hops away onto Whis as he's teleporting away and goes with him. And then there's a pause, and she kind of looks down and is like, actually, I'm fine. It's not even a big deal.
Classic Goku.
And you're sitting there wondering just like, where do these dark energies go? Where is this building towards? How deep is the abuse in this family? And then the credits fucking roll.
I was so surprised that it was over.
Yeah, you were more surprised, I think, than any of us have been at any of these. Because it never doesn't feel that way. I need you to know. We're 17 episodes in now. It never doesn't feel like, wait, what?
Sometimes it's like mid-sentence. Yeah.
Okay, we need to rate this episode and go to band practice.
I wanted to go on a whole thread for what kind of protection Goku uses.
Alex, out of 7 Dragon Balls, what do you give us?
Oh, I did not like this episode at all. They turned Krillin into a cop. Goku was annoying. Everyone seems broken inside. I'm going to give it 1 ball.
1 ball?
This is the 4-star ball on the mantelpiece. But in a sad and lonely way.
Griff, out of 7 Dragon Balls.
I didn't puke once. 7 balls.
Hey!
Ooh, you get a wish, baby.
Make a wish.
Oh, I wish I never have to watch this show again.
I'm giving this one 0 balls.
You can give it 0 balls?
Give it 0 balls, yeah.
That's a great option.
You got no balls, all right? Bad episode.
I thought
episode.
You were going to wish KD would come back.
I wish I could, but 0 balls. I can't
you
compromise my integrity on the ball system.
Yeah, we could go to Namek.
No, we can't. Okay. Alex, you got anything coming up? You got to plug anything?
Yes. Come to my show on Friday at Star Bar, May 12th. At 7 o'clock, it's the fundraiser show. Come to my Twitter at Patak Jokes. I'll tweet about the show.
Griff, you got anything to plug?
Yeah, May 19th at the Reckless Theater at 7 p.m. The Magical Adventures of Benny and Griff.
Oh, that's very exciting. And unfortunately, I have to plug something also on May 19th.
Ooh.
You guys should see Griff's show. It's very good.
You should see Griff's show. You should try to see both, because mine is a roast show of bad tattoos. We're having people show up with terrible tattoos, and we're having comedians roast them, and whoever's tattoo is the worst gets a free laser removal. And that's it. That's it for this episode. Join us next week.
Super!
Super.